to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, beloveds. For those of you who may not be familiar with who I am, my name is Reverend Rafe Ellis, and I am honored and privileged to be the senior minister and spiritual leader here at Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's start by taking a breath together. That, beloveds, is the connection of life. So this morning we are launching into a month of exploring living as wholeness. And particularly this morning we're looking at embracing wholeness. So we're going to start with just some ideas of what wholeness actually is. And then we're going to spend the majority of our time looking at this idea of embrace. So wholeness in the dictionary is defined as a state of forming a complete and harmonious whole, a unity, a state of being unbroken or undamaged. In philosophy and psychology, wholeness is defined as a state of completion of the human soul that comes from psychological awareness, self-awareness, self-acceptance, and then they repeat self-acceptance with a capital S, which is exactly what our founder Ernest Holmes did. Jungian continues with the definition of self as the central archetype of the human soul that expresses psychic wholeness, the totality of our personality, as well as its center and circumference. You may have heard that in prayers offered, that we are at the center and that it has no circumference, that everywhere presence. And so here Jungian psychology, philosophy is right in alignment with science of mind. He continues, often associated with a deity, the God image within humans, which is different way of saying exactly what we teach, that we are made out of it, by it, to be it. It is within us and without us, on the outside. And then it goes on to complete its definition with the autonomous. Autonomous meaning it operates on its own, regulating force within us that urges us toward wholeness. That I interpret, I understand that to mean exactly what Holmes brought forward, that the self is always urging the self forward into a greater awareness of the divine self to the human self. So when we look at this idea of wholeness, I think it's really important that we really rest in that a state of being unbroken, undamaged, a harmonious, complete whole, a unity. Because our human indoctrination, our human conditioning is to think about the parts of a whole. And I invite you this morning to think about it more as aspects of the whole. Why? Because parts in our language lends itself to separation. Wetness is an aspect of water. but it cannot be separated from water. I don't care how you engage with water, there's going to be some degree of wetness. It is an inseparable aspect of water. And so I invite you to begin to understand all of the things that you might think of as parts, as aspects of one complete, harmonious whole. Now I know that's a lot, and we're going to get there. I think one of the things that challenges us is trying to wrap ourselves around behavior as part of the whole. And while our power of choice is certainly an aspect of the whole, how that plays out is individualized. That is this experiential realm that literally creates our personality, because our personality is an accumulation of all of our experiences that molds us and shapes us and forms this very human thing called personality. I settled in all week long, this poem from Robert Frost kept coming up. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for the passing there, had not warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubt I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. To me, that speaks eloquently and perfectly about this idea of embrace. That embrace is really anchored in conscious choice. Now, it's no secret to any of us that the first definition of embrace in the dictionary is to hold someone closely in one's arms, especially as a sign of affection. So to embrace is synonymous with hugging. It's the second definition that I want to focus on today. Check this out. To accept and support a belief, theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically. Let me read that again. To accept and support a belief, theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically. And so the invitation becomes to recognize that we are always at choice, that there are always these two roads. And we get to choose. And this idea of embracing wholeness is an invitation to choose that divine self, to allow that self to lift up the human self, and to allow the human self to bring the divine self more into our awareness, more into our experience, more into the molding and shaping of our personality, how we show up in the world. And I think one of our biggest challenges is first to not acknowledge that we're a choice. Too many of us spend too much time hanging out on that villain, victim, hero triangle. The minute we say we have to, we must, we got to, the minute somebody else made us do something, we have abdicated our power of choice. And so the first thing we have to do is acknowledge we always are a choice. Even if we dislike the roads that we're looking down, even if they scare the bejabbers out of us, we are a choice. Always. We get to choose to live our authentic self, whether anybody agrees with us or not. And oftentimes, choosing our authentic self is met with rejection from other people. So we get to choose. Is it more important? Is the road we're going to choose our divine expression or somebody else's idea of our divine expression? Because oftentimes they're worlds apart. Worlds apart. This idea of embrace, I think we have to own any degree of this, right? Any degree of this. Because I cannot possibly embrace anything as long as I'm closed. As long as my arms are crossed, either mentally or physically, as long as the door is shut, there's no openness to embrace a new idea, to embrace a change, much less to do it willingly or enthusiastically. And life is not going to take a sledgehammer and a chisel and pound away at those barriers. We do that with our own thinking. We continuously create situations and experiences that give us ample evidence that perhaps it might be in our best interest to change directions. That perhaps continuing down this road that we're on is not taking us where we ultimately want to be. When the scenery represents somebody else's life and not yours, we get to cut through the woods to another path. We get to make a whole nother path. And no one, I rarely use all inclusives, absolutely no one can choose for you. They absolutely cannot. If I were to have a guru, it would be Viktor Frankl. And the preciousness of what he teaches me through his articulation of coming to understand the power choice through his experience in concentration camps in Nazi Germany as a Jew. Take away all of my excuses. And the most precious story that I've read of his is the moment where they had taken everything. They had taken his clothing, they had taken his food, they had taken his health. He was literally stripped naked. And they asked for his wedding ring. And he paused long enough to settle within his own mind that he was consciously choosing to give his wedding ring to avoid any psychological, spiritual impact of being a victim. Now, I would love to tell you that I am so anchored that I would be able to do that. And it would be easy to say I could when I'm not in that situation. But I don't know. I know I have been challenged in life with some very difficult things. And I know I can look back and say, I'm proud of some of my decisions, and others, not so much. And then there are those decisions, those choices that had outcomes that are different than I anticipated. And I love what Dan Millman teaches. He used to come to a treatment facility that I worked at when I was still in the secular nonprofit realm. And he taught that we've never made a bad decision. And it took me a while to wrap myself around that, but I really understand what he's saying. That given all of the information that we had in that moment, all of the imagination available to us, all of the skills, all of the tools, all of the resources, we have made the best choice that was available to us in that moment. And that it's only in hindsight, when we go back and look at our past choices through the lens of new information, that it gets distorted and that it gets bad. And then, because we live in this human reward punishment paradigm, our tendency is to make ourselves bad and wrong. And none of that, beloveds, none of that is accurate. We make choices, and choices are activated in law. The soul of humanity is synonymous with law, the activity of creation. And so we make choices, we hold beliefs, and those are acted upon. And we don't get to determine how they play out. We get to choose what we activate. We get to choose the belief. Our work, our privilege, our gift is in mind. It is the mental. And so I invite you, let's take a breath together. I invite you to set an intention this week for how it is best for you to lean into embracing a greater awareness that you are an aspect of wholeness, that you have never been separate, that you have never been broken, that you are an integrated aspect of an infinite wholeness. That, beloved, is the truth of your being. And so, how might you engage in spiritual practice over the next week to embrace that truth?
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.